3, our informal interviews for deliberation and action. And first up, we have 2462 in regards to Jared Dorsey, DBM. So this is the time and place scheduled for the informal interview of Dr. Dorsey in case number 2462. This matter will be heard by the board pursuant to the authority given to it at ARS 32-2234. Dr. Dorsey, please come forward with your legal counsel and introduce yourself and your attorney as well. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
People, just state your name for the record.
Jared Dorsey.
Okay.
My name is Claudia Stedman. I'm Dr. Dorsey's attorney.
Okay. Dr. Dorsey, you have received a letter informing you of the matters to be discussed today and the possible actions the board may take at this informal interview. As a reminder, those options include dismissal, issuing you a non-disciplinary letter of concern, censuring you, placing your license on probation with terms that may include continuing education and practice restrictions. The board may also suspend your license for up to 30 days, assess a civil penalty, or refer this matter to a formal hearing. The purpose of this informal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case. The board has read all of the materials you have submitted. If you or your legal counsel have any additional materials you would like to present to the board, please do so now.
We do have 12 copies of additional certificates of completion per CD that we would like to provide.
Okay. Thank you. This proceeding is being digitally recorded. As a result, it is important that everyone speak loudly and clearly and that only one person speaks at a time. We will begin by asking the lead board member assigned to this matter to, just lost my place. Yes, for the case summary. Did I skip something though? Okay, sorry. Yes. Following your response, the board may wish to ask you some questions. If present, the complainant will also be given an opportunity to address the board. If you have any questions for the board or anyone giving information during this interview, you may ask them through me. Now, Dr. Dosley, could you please give us a brief summary of the case?
Sure. On September 27, 2023, Blaine, a 9-week-old female shepherd mix, presented to the respondent for a spay procedure. The spay procedure was performed and the dog was moved to a kennel for recovery. In recovery, the dog stopped breathing and did not have a pulse. CPR was initiated and the complainant declined to proceed with CPR. The complainant picked up the dog's body, transported it to Midwestern University for necropsy. The complainant alleges that the respondent used a higher than normal dose of DKT, which led to the dog's demise.
Thank you. Dr. Dorsey, at this time, I would like to swear you in. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Dr. Dorsey, we would now like to give you and your legal counsel an opportunity to respond to the summary and present whatever information you believe is relevant.
President Krieger, members of the board, thank you for the opportunity to appear before and address the board today. I take my role as a veterinarian very seriously. I recognize that the board has been disappointed in my previous responses to the complaint, and I want to ensure the board that I take the issues raised in the complaint very seriously. I'm not a naturally emotional person, and I apologize if my prior responses to the board and investigative committee have come across as callous or uncaring. Blaine's death was very traumatic for me and my staff. Her passing was deeply affected me, and I sincerely apologize we were not able to achieve a different outcome. I want the board and complainant to know that I am very truly sorry. Through my revised supplemental response, I have attempted to provide more detailed answers to the questions that you may have. And I would like to briefly address a few areas in particular. First, with respect to anesthesia dosing, I was trained to use a DKT dosing that I provided with Blaine. However, I do recognize that medication I administered may have been at the upper end of the reference range, the acceptable reference range. I want to note that I made an error in dosing and listed in Blaine's medical record for dexamethasone, I incorrectly wrote that I administered 0.2 mils of a 10 meg per mil solution. This was a Scrivener's error and is not the correct dosing. The amount of Dexdomidor I administered with Flublane was 0.2 mils of a 0.5 meg per mil solution. I apologize, I did not address this earlier. As a result of the incident, I've consulted with colleagues and educated myself on different dosing recommendations and as well as using alternative anesthetics. I now titrate the medication down to try and provide dosing towards the lower end of the scientifically acceptable range that is individualized to my specific patient. Second, I acknowledge that the medical records for Blaine could have been more detailed on a going forward basis. I continue to try my best to take more meticulous notes for my patients. I fully recognize the importance of taking detailed and timely medical records. Third, while I was not the provider rendering CPR to Blaine, I understand the investigative committee's concern regarding documentation on the CPR records and resuscitation medications. Because I did not render the CPR, I did not prepare the CPR records. However, I have emphasized to my staff the importance of making detailed and timely medical records. Fourth, I would like to make it clear that I did speak with someone associated with Almost Their Rescue the day Blaine passed away. I'm sorry, this conversation and the information I provided was not related to Almost Their leadership. However, I was able to follow up with the rescue over the phone approximately 24 hours after Blaine's passing. Fifth, as noted in my revised supplemental response, Vethaven has begun the process of hiring more tenured veterinarians, medical directors, and additional administrative staff to ensure there are ample quality control and supervision measures in place, and I'm happy to discuss particular steps that are being taken. I have taken the complaints concern very seriously. Specifically, I completed 12 CE credits over the course of a two-day symposium through the North American Veterinary Anesthesia Society on April 27th and April 28th. I've also completed 10 CE credits regarding medical record keeping best practices for the VetMed team. I'm happy to provide the board with my certificates of completion, and I have provided the completion. This was a tragic incident, and I am very disappointed that we were unable to resuscitate Blaine. I have earnestly taken this opportunity to evaluate my approach to anesthesia and improve my medical record documentation and work collaboratively with staff and more tenured veterinarians to ensure there's appropriate support and supervision. And I'm available to answer any questions that you may have. Thank you.
Okay, great, thank you. I would now like to ask board members if they have any questions for Dr. Dorsey.
Hi, Dr. Dorsey. Thanks for coming back. Going back to the day that the spay was done on Blaine, so when did you first see Blaine on the day of surgery?
The morning of after drop off.
And what occurred when you first saw, was that, what was the reason you saw Blaine at that point?
The reason for seeing Blaine was for the elective spay procedure.
So was that when you did your preoperative exam?
After check-in and getting history, everything, yes, that was one.
Okay, so you did the check-in?
I did not do the check-in.
Okay.
No.
But you were there?
I just introduced myself.
Just introduce yourself. Okay, thank you. Regarding the preoperative exam, you did that at a later time.
Yes.
Okay. So in the records, we see vitals, but there's no exam findings. However, at the end of the records, after the surgical description, there's a statement that says the following looked normal. Is that your preoperative exam there at the end of the record?
I believe so. That's how they're entered into the electronic medical record.
Okay. And so there's no template where there's a checklist. It's just basically the following looked normal. Is that the normal procedure? Was that unique to Blaine or?
Sorry, go ahead.
I just didn't want to interrupt.
Okay. Specifically, during this exam, did you auscultate the patient's heart and lungs?
Yes, I did.
Okay. I'd like to focus on the recovery of Blaine. So when was the last time you saw the patient? Describe the circumstances regarding the post-op there. When did you last see Blaine and how did that describe that for me?
The last time I saw Blaine was on the surgical table finishing the surgery and allowing time on oxygen and then on room air. And at that point, they were moved to recovery where I was no longer monitoring.
Okay, so on the table, anesthesia off, still intubated, and then she was removed then to a recovery area and you went on to another surgery, if I read the record. Okay. So she was, the last time you saw her, she was intubated?
Yes.
Okay. In discussions with the staff afterwards, do you know when the endotracheal tube was removed? How long it was left? Or do you have knowledge of that in your discussions post the incident?
I don't specifically know the time it was removed.
Okay. So you wouldn't be able to tell us then when the respiratory and then subsequent cardiac arrest occurred, whether she was intubated at that point or not?
No.
So you don't know that. Okay. The only issue regarding the DKT, what was your decision to not reverse it based on at that point during this recovery phase we're talking about when you still were with the patient?
The reasoning for me to not reverse them, it was to give them a little bit better of a recovery. That was my reasoning. I have since changed to reverse it always because I would rather them be dysphoric than have any complications afterwards.
Okay. We're still going to have the ketamine and butorphanol on board.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So, regarding the communication with the owner or responsible party in this rescue, can you describe your conversations with the rescue group almost there in a little more detail? What time did you talk to someone? Who did you talk to? And I guess before you answer that, had you talked to them before or only the person dropping the pet off? Nobody from the rescue beforehand?
No, not beforehand.
Okay, so then when did you, after?
It was the next day. I'm not sure on exact time, but I spoke to them about what happened that day.
So you didn't talk to them on the day that the the patient expired?
I spoke with the person who dropped them off.
Well, that, can you describe that?
Pre-op, before the surgery, I spoke with them about different anesthetic risks.
Okay.
And if there are any concerns going forward. Afterwards, discussed what happened.
Okay.
I just really discussed what happened in surgery and then what happened after surgery. And then if they had any questions or anything, so if not.
And I think you said you don't think at that point you were talking to anybody from leadership at the rescue?
I did not know at that point that they did not represent the rescue, no.
Do you remember who this person was that you talked to after?
No, I don't remember the name.
And I didn't see any communication notes in the records at all. Would that be correct?
That's correct, yes.
Okay. Another issue in going through the record, there's a discrepancy in the records regarding the patient's age. At one point, it's listed at 18 weeks, another at 8 months, which I think is they meant 8 weeks. Another 9 weeks, another 14 weeks. Were you aware of those discrepancies, and could you explain why that might occur?
I'm not aware of those errors. If I were, I couldn't speak to
would
why
that,
they would be put in incorrectly.
Would the age of the patient be recorded at intake by the staff?
Yes.
That's when they would say, Blaine, 9 weeks, whatever. Okay. So you can't tell us why it's listed then several other places with a different age?
I do not know.
Okay. So just a discussion a little bit in your role as the responsible veterinarian, which I understand is now 3 locations?
Yes, we're working on moving it to 3 locations, but currently I am still listed under all the ones previously mentioned.
And how many are those? How many locations
six,
currently?
Right.
Seven.
Seven. Okay.
Yeah.
So in understanding your role as the responsible veterinarian, have you read or are you aware of the responsibilities of the responsible veterinarian as outlined in our administrative rules?
I have previously read them, yes.
Read through 20 some items about which the responsible veterinarian is responsible for. Okay. So how do you communicate with the locations?
With the different practices. So I am in contact with the practice managers there, as well as the doctors. I also have worked at every single one of those locations.
Okay.
And discuss their operations when I'm there.
Okay. So you visit them?
Yes.
Including Tucson?
Yes.
Okay. And about how often, when the need arises, or in general, or?
It's for like a Tucson location, less frequent, but generally at least once a month I do go down there. At the locations that are nearer to me, it's generally more every couple weeks or so.
Okay, thank you. That's all the questions I have.
So you're transitioning, I thought that part was already done, but your goal is to get down to managing 3?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yeah. And continue from there and reduce it further once we do get the staff for that.
President Krieger, can I make a few clarification
sure.
points on that? So the Dr. Dorsey is still listed as the responsible veterinarian on the premises licenses. When additional veterinarians that are more tenured are hired and those changes take place, obviously those licenses will be submitted to the board for consideration. We did not at all mean to imply in the response that those changes have occurred without board approval, so I just want to be very clear about that.
Gotcha.
Dr. Amy Ariano, who is Vet Haven's chief medical officer, is now listed as responsible veterinarian on two premises licenses that have not undergone a change. They're just new locations, so those are not falling under Dr. Dorsey's umbrella of responsible locations. The goal ultimately for Vet Haven is, in addition to the tenured veterinarians that they've already hired, is to continue hiring more tenured veterinarians who will serve as medical directors, and once those internal hirings have occurred, eventually transition the premises licenses that Dr. Dorsey is listed on to those more senior experienced veterinarians, obviously again subject to board consideration and approval in doing that. Obviously, given the veterinary shortage, it's difficult to find those staff. Vet Haven is working very diligently to hire those individuals, and as we've noted in the response, many, you know, veterinarians have been hired at this time. But that is ultimately the goal, and I just, you know, I do want to emphasize that no changes on the licenses have happened without board approval, and we understand that that procedure needs to occur before anything is finalized.
Okay. Thank you for that. Ms. Sullivan, did you
have
a question?
Yes, just a point of clarification. It does say that the remaining three locations that Vet Haven is looking to transfer those also from Dr. Dorsey. Is there any kind of time frame? 6 months, a year? No.
Yeah, I don't know that there is a specific time frame in place. I do think that Vet Haven is making every effort to change the responsible veterinarian by hiring these people as expeditiously as they can while not cutting any corners to ensure that the people that are being hired are appropriate for the location that they are hiring them for. So I think, you know, there maybe is not a set time frame, but they are working towards that goal expeditiously and trying to ensure that the people that they're putting in those positions are, you know, a good fit.
So technically, according to our records, Dr. Dorsey, you're still the responsible veterinarian for all those locations previously mentioned, just not the three, correct?
Two.
No, he's for all of them.
For all of them. Just not the three.
Not for the two that I did apply for.
Right.
Okay. And on that point too, while Dr. Dorsey is still listed as the responsible veterinarian, Dr. Ariano, the chief medical director, and Ryan Bendo is their new field operations director, and they are providing support and guidance to Dr. Dorsey in these locations, so he is not operating kind of on his own at these locations.
Dr. Dorsey, can you tell us a little bit more about your experience practicing on your own between graduation and becoming the responsible vet for multiple locations? Can you tell us about your experience in the individual practice of veterinary medicine as well as any administrative management experience? And how long?
I started PetSmart Vet Services. Very shortly after coming out of clinics. So I don't have specific experience with the administrative portion of it. Although I worked through clinics for a year and discussed a lot of that, these situations with them. With the knowledge, I was trying to start off on my own and try to get more information on any of that.
Are there any other questions from board members? Okay, well, we don't have the complainant here or over the phone, so technically I can give you guys any other final comments, questions, concerns for the board.
If I can just make a brief closing statement, I would appreciate that. President Krieger, members of the board, thank you very much for giving Dr. Dorsey the opportunity to appear before you. At bottom, I really want to emphasize that Dr. Dorsey does take responsibility for this incident, and he acknowledges the missteps and is sincerely apologetic at the outcome that happened here. As a result of this incident, there have been significant individual and system-wide measures that are being undertaken to address the missteps here. As Dr. Dorsey mentioned, on an individual level, he's reflected on the care and treatment that he provides to these patients. He acknowledges that administering the upper end range of anesthesia may not be appropriate in each circumstance, and he is more diligent in titrating his dosing, consulting with colleagues, and individualizing the anesthesia protocol that he uses for his patients. He's also completed continuing education on this topic to further educate himself on the different approaches and methodologies that can be used. He also acknowledges the importance of having detailed, accurate medical records, and I can tell you this is something that we have talked about at length together. He recognizes that promptly entering accurate information into a patient's medical record is critical for ensuring that that patient receives safe and effective and timely care, and so that those records can be sent to a client promptly upon request. On an individual basis, again, Dr. Dorsey has undertaken and completed continuing education on this topic to learn about pitfalls, best practices, and how to implement compliance measures throughout his practice and with staff to ensure that adequate medical records are documented for each patient. On a system-wide level, VetHaven has formulated policies and procedures related to anesthesia dosing, guidelines, and post-op recovery monitoring for its veterinarians and staff. VetHaven has also instituted changes to ensure that there are a baseline level of compliance with medical record keeping, and it will continue to educate its staff and veterinarians on the importance of those policies and procedures. It's also begun instituting significant changes with the responsible veterinarians, which is aimed at improving quality control and ensuring that there is adequate supervision throughout its locations. As a new provider in this profession, Dr. Dorsey has a lot to learn from his colleagues and mentors. He acknowledges that, and I think that's maybe stating the obvious here, but it's worth pointing out. He understands the importance of seeking guidance and consulting with these more tenured professionals, and his goal is to continue to learn and improve in providing safe and effective care for his patients. While this was a traumatic incident that Dr. Dorsey wishes had ended with a different outcome, he has taken this opportunity to earnestly reevaluate his prior education and training. And in the months following this incident, Dr. Dorsey has worked individually and in conjunction with VetHaven to ensure that appropriate steps are taken to avoid similar incidents in the future. In light of this, we would respectfully request that the board take the remediation efforts that Dr. Dorsey has already undertaken, as well as the significant entity-wide changes that VetHaven is instituting, into consideration in rendering its decision today. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any final questions for board members?
Yes. Just acknowledging that the board does not regulate corporations. We regulate responsible veterinarians. And I feel, Dr. Dorsey, that you've been put in a very difficult situation in the corporate structure, being responsible for the responsible veterinarian for so many locations with your basically entry-level experience. I would hope that in the I would hope that, it will get there. I would hope that, and please confirm this, that in the interim, while these changes are being made to relieve Dr. Dorsey of his responsible veterinary duties, is VetHaven providing him with, and I'd like to hear from you, and I'd like to hear from Dr. Dorsey on this, providing him with all of the necessary support that he will need, because it's his license that's in jeopardy.
Right. I think they addressed that in part, though.
Pardon?
they addressed that in part.
In a very summary fashion. It's important that, you know, I think that we hear that commitment from them, and that that Dr. Dorsey lets us know if he feels he's getting the support he needs to be able to do it.
And I love where you're going with this. I was just trying to wrap up this piece,
okay,
and then have, because I think your discussion was a lot what I was going to discuss,
okay,
in the final,
okay,
comment. So if you have any other, I mean, I think you kind of addressed, though, that you did have there was the medical directors at each location now, and then that other individual who's like the field person, so.
And the chief medical officer,
okay,
that is sort of overseeing all of that. And she is a very tenured and experienced veterinarian who also will be assisting Dr. Dorsey with on the medical side and the administrative side on a going forward basis.
Okay, got it. Okay, great, thank you. Okay, well, unless there's no further other comments, questions, this concludes the portion of the informal interview in which the board hears testimony. The board will now deliberate and decide what to do in this matter. Dr. Nosley, if you would like to lead.
Well, I had some questions for the complainant, so I'll start there. I believe I was going to ask the complainant whether she was in a position of leadership, because it sounded to me like she was. She was a medical director. I would call that position of leadership. And I wanted to hear more about those communications. It appears from her information that it was a one-time brief conversation with the respondent afterwards, and I wanted to clarify that. We don't have that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Did anyone understand the issue of the signatures? Was that adequately addressed to everybody about her signatures at intake? Because the investigative committee went into it in detail, but I'm not sure what they concluded. Anybody catch that? Okay, well, they didn't bring it forward, so we'll let that go. So in this case, I do believe there is a violation, and so I would like to then refer to the investigative committee and their recommendations. They made what I consider in their first two recommendations are redundant. It's an either or situation with me.
Okay.
And just looking at their first recommendation of gross negligence for administering the inappropriate dose of DKT, I don't believe we need to discuss that any further. The respondent has addressed that issue adequately, taken responsibility. So I don't think we have to get into that at all. Under gross negligence, I would strike the lack of follow-up with the pet owner. I don't believe that's gross negligence. And also the casual lack of concern by the respondent. Number one, I don't agree with that. And number two, I don't think that's for us to opine. And then their second recommendation was in the same, only ARS 3222312 as it relates to R311511, for now a failure to use current professional and scientific knowledge in regards to the inappropriate dose of the DKT. So between those two motions, at this point in time, I think I have to ask for some input from the other board members as to whether they agree a violation and which way they would go in this. Does anyone have any input on that?
I have a question of veterinarians on the board, if I may.
Yeah. Okay.
Does the age of the animal affect the dosage, or is it just the size?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. Because as you referenced, there were four or five different ages listed.
Well, yeah, and I think we've discussed that adequately with the respondent, that these drugs are dosed in the reference as to kilogram. That's all we have. But they're not dosed as to our patient, and they have to be modified to the patient. And I think there's full understanding of that now. It happened, and we have to address that.
Right.
But that's why I believe this is either gross negligence or under our rule, failure to use current professional and scientific knowledge. So I was asking for, between those two motions, if anyone has any input, or we can just...
I would probably lean towards the failure to use current professional and scientific knowledge. I think, I mean, we've been in these situations before where we have a new grad, and there's a certain, there is a learning curve. Mm-hmm. As you have patients, you kind of learn to adjust. I mean, we're all given, it's not cookie cutter medicine, but we're all given these doses, and then you learn with your experience what to do. I don't think it was intentional or gross negligence. And also, I mean, the pet did have an underlying condition that wasn't identified.
Underlying condition?
Yeah.
We're technically within the dose range.
Right,
So there's a lot of gray there, so I...
Well, I think just like clarifying that, like, gross negligence isn't necessarily intentional, right? I mean,
So I just want
to make sure, like, that's clear, just because, again, we've had this come up a lot, is that, well, this is a new grad. Well, that's not a standard in how professionals are licensed, right?
Correct.
You're licensed the same as somebody who's literally one day out, and so... Yes, there is experience, there are things that come with it. But I would agree, I mean, given the case and the information, and also hearing from, you know, the respondent more completely, I would agree that the failure to use current professional scientific knowledge seems more applicable in the language of gross negligence versus the other.
Okay. Thank you for that input. So, I would completely strike the first recommendation as to gross negligence. Tracy, the issue about the concentration of the dexmedetomidine, that needs to be corrected in the findings of fact. I was going to bring that up, then the respondent brought it up. So I guess it'll have to be a modified.
When you do the order.
When we get to the order.
We can make sure that information is in there.
Thank you. Thank you. So I would make a motion in this case to find a violation of 32.22.32.12 as it relates to R311.501, failure to use current professional and scientific knowledge due to the administering of an inappropriate dose of DKT.
Okay. We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion and a second. Is there any further discussion on that particular?
I'm just that, and it was reviewed, but what about the medical records?
Yeah, I wanted to keep these separate.
Okay.
So I have.
Okay.
Going to that, yeah.
So we have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes.
And then a recommendation was made under find a violation of 32.22.32.12 as it relates to R311.501, failure to provide courteous verbal or written interchange with respect to the lack of follow-up with the pet owner. And I would strike the and casual lack of concern by the respondent. Yeah, don't agree with that at all. So it's unfortunate we didn't hear from the complainant regarding this communication. So I'm going to recommend that we do not follow the IC recommendation regarding this. There was communication.
Okay.
And so I'm going to say not follow that recommendation. So no motion there.
Okay.
Then and there was a recommendation of 32.22.32.12 as it relates to R311.501.8, the failure to provide medical records to the pet owner, or acting as the pet owner in a timely manner upon request. And I do believe that this is a violation. The respondent is the responsible veterinarian, and I realize we were waiting on records to be completed, but the statute says 10 days, and we failed in that respect. So I would make a motion, as I just outlined, I can read it again.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second with regard to records. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
And then finally, the IC recommended under ARS 32-22-32-21 as it relates to R311-502L regarding the CPR. It wasn't this respondent. You're responsible for your own records. And that if we want to push it to the responsible veterinarian aspect of this, I don't believe that. Responsible veterinarians can't be responsible for everything that the doctors are doing in terms of their recording. So I would not follow that recommendation. Then 502L number 10, the failure of the staff and the veterinarian to initial entries made in the medical record. Have we ever really, could we almost do that in every case? And I think that's minor records violation. I'm satisfied that this is not an issue or won't be going forward. So in case of the last recommendation, I would not follow through with a violation in that case.
Okay.
And I think that takes me through all of it.
Yeah, and I just want to echo what Ms. Sullivan was saying earlier. You know, we see these cases where we have a new vet, and this was, as you stated, an unfortunate outcome, but we don't want this to discourage you from your practice in the future. I feel like she was correct when she said, I really feel like you're kind of been set up by Vet Haven to fail. And, you know, as we're hearing more and more, so many vets are unwilling to take on the responsible vet role, right? And that is a, you know, that's a growing concern. But then, and that's a responsible vet for one practice. I'm just mortified kind of that you were the responsible vet for six across the valley, not even ones that are all in the same little geographical area. And, you know, I think you hopefully will learn in the future with this experience how to say no, how to really set boundaries for yourself and not get taken advantage of by, you know, and this is no disrespect to corporations and anything, but you know, if you want to really be successful and avoid burnout, and we want to see you continuing to practice here in this state, and this is just, you know, I feel like this is just not sustainable for you. And then this is where these types of accidents and issues arise, because it's just way too much. So, you know, it sounds like you're really taking all the lessons learned from this, but just learn to stand up for yourself as just a new grad. It's kind of just what I want to share. So,
in regards to the responsible veterinarian, I mean, where do we stand with these practices in terms of inspections, premise inspections?
Dr. Nez, I don't have that level of detail right now.
Okay.
All I could say is the two new ones that he's not the responsible veterinarian are on this month's agenda.
Okay.
All right. Well, do we need to do anything before we close?
I just wanted to thank Dr. Dorsey for his candor and his actions post this incident.
Yes,
so thank you very much for that.
Great letter. Yes. So, okay, so the board has voted to find violations in the case of Dr. Dorsey. This concludes the matter, and Dr. Dorsey will receive written confirmation of the board's action shortly. At next month's meeting, the board will consider adopting proposed findings of fact and conclusions of law and offer. And after doing so, we'll then discuss and adopt disciplinary action. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to contact the board's executive director, Victoria Whitmore. And this concludes this informal interview. So thank you both for being here.